Welcome to the PITC UK podcast with your host, Daryl Ann Ferns, and her partner in true crime, Tom Ferns. Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 5 of the PITC UK podcast. So I'm here today, obviously, with my partner in true crime, Daryl Ann. So what are we going to be talking about today?
Today, we're going to be talking about the mysterious disappearance of Brandon Lawson.
Okay.
So I thought that we'd do this one today because you enjoyed so much doing the mystery type that we did last week.
With the Lauren Agee one, yeah.
So it's kind of similar in terms of it's unsolved.
Okay.
But there's a lot to get into. And it's quite confusing, once again.
Standard. With any of these, it always
I just make things confusing. But anyway, I think we better get straight into it before the time
runs out again.
Time just blubbering on. Okay, so Brendan Mason Lawson was born on the 18th of November 1986 in a small town called Crowley, which is near Fort Worth in Texas. Now, I couldn't find much online about his upbringing and his childhood, which I usually do like to try and put into these things, and just so you can get a feel for the person. But by the time he was 16, I was able to get more information.
Okay.
So he met his high school sweetheart called Ladessa Lofton. Brandon and Ladessa are reported to have had an instant connection, and at the time of Brandon's disappearance, they'd been together for 10 years. By the time the couple graduated from high school, they moved across Texas together several times before finally settling in San Angelo in 2012. Brandon got a temporary job as an oil-field worker at this time. And those closest to him have described him as a family man and a loving, dedicated and attentive father to all four of his children, three of whom he shares with Ladessa.
Okay.
So he's got three kids with Ladessa, and then an older daughter from a previous relationship.
Wow, even though they were together from 16.
Yeah, and even though I think he was only 26 at the time.
When he went missing.
Disappeared too, so. Right. Yeah. He was described as being incredibly loyal to everyone who knew him. He had an incredibly close relationship with his younger brother, Kyle. And during an interview with Crawl Space podcast in 2019, Kyle describes Brandon as his role model and best friend. So they're incredibly close.
Yeah.
I think he says that, like, Brandon taught him everything that he knew. You know, he really, really looked up to him as a person.
Okay.
By all accounts, Brandon was described as very hardworking, often putting in over 60 hours a week at the oil field in all order to support his young family. So although Brandon was building a seemingly perfect life for himself, he had a history of using drugs, specifically meth.
Wow.
Yeah.
So not even just a joint every now and again, he was going for the hard stuff.
Yeah. And like many casual drug users, he would dip in and out of that lifestyle every now and again. But by August 2013, he'd been clean for 6 months, and it was reported that he was really enjoying his sobriety. At this time, he'd recently passed a drug test, which he'd taken in order to start a new, more stable job with better working hours. And that was something he was really excited about. So this new job, he was really looking forward to starting because it meant that he'd get to spend more time with his family.
Yeah. Well, no one wants to work 60 hours a week, do they?
Oh, no. And I mean, I bet, like, working in the oil field is, like, a really
tough
good
job.
Good job as well, though. But, you know, to be putting in that much work, it's probably really tiring. But it does seem like this guy's got a really good work ethic and really likes taking on that role of, you know, being the breadwinner and supporting his family.
Yeah.
So on the night of the 8th of August 2013, Brandon returned home after having been out since the day before. Understandably, Brandon's absence annoyed Ladessa, who had not long given birth to the couple's newborn. And after confronting him about his behaviour, they reportedly got into a heated argument after Ladessa accused Brandon of using drugs again. In an attempt to cool off, Brandon grabbed his phone, charger, keys and wallet and promptly left home in his Ford F-150 truck around 11:53 p.m. On his way, Brandon called his father, Brad, asking if he could stay at his for the night. Brad reluctantly agreed, but emphasised that instead he should just return home. The drive from San Angelo to Crowley would take 3 hours, and it was already really late into the night. However, Brandon kept driving, and only 7 minutes after leaving his home received a call from Ledessa. During this call, Ledessa claims that she advised Brandon that if he still needed to calm down, then he should go to his brother Kyle's house instead, as they lived closer. I think they lived about 5 minutes away from
where they lived. From where right, they okay.
Live. But allegedly, Brandon refused to do this. So he seemed really
set on travelling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know that some people, like, if they're in a mood, they'll take a drive.
Yeah. Yeah.
And maybe that's what he needed.
Maybe, yeah. It's clear as head, yeah.
At around 12:30 a.m. on the 9th of August, Brandon rang Ledessa twice, but the calls went unanswered. A few minutes later, he called Kyle, telling him that he needed help. He was stranded on Highway 277 in Brunt, Texas, and his truck had run out of gas. During this phone call, it's also reported that Brandon told Kyle, quote, three, and these are his words, not mine. I apologise if it's offensive. Three Mexicans in the neighbourhood are chasing me out of town. And he even speculated that Ledessa had hired them to follow him. Brandon then asked Kyle to go by his house to check that Ledessa wasn't destroying his property. Kyle was confused by this and attempted to calm his brother down, explaining that Ledessa wouldn't do that. But he agreed to stop by his home to make sure everything was okay and to grab a gas can.
Okay. Strange. Unlikely that, again, a partner, especially if you've got a newborn, would set... Well, again, obviously, true crime and you never know, I guess. But yeah, it does seem unlikely, but, you know, it may have just been a coincidence, but who knows?
Along with his wife, Audrey, and their 4-year-old son, Kyle arrived at Brandon's residence. Ledessa seemed to have calmed down and explained to Kyle that she was about to take a bath while her phone charged in her vehicle. So she'd charge a phone in her car because Brandon had took the plug
for the
so
his.
So she only had like the USB part, which she would put in her car, because I just wanted to make that clear, because people think that that's strange that she was like charging a phone in a car. But if you've only got one between you, so she gave a gas can to Kyle, and then they made their way to Brandon's location. So during this time, the brothers exchanged several phone calls along the way and made plans to meet on the highway. They decided that due to Kyle's paycheck not clearing into his bank account, that they'd pick Brandon up and then drive to the nearest gas station, where Brandon would ultimately buy his own gas, and then they'd drop him back off to his
car. Yeah, yeah. Makes sense.
At 12:56 a.m, a truck driver made a phone call to 911 to report Brandon's truck as abandoned. The caller stated that it was left with the tail end partially over the hard shoulder of the highway, haphazardly causing an obstruction and possible danger to oncoming vehicles.
Okay.
So clearly...
He wasn't there.
He's run out of gas and he's tried to pull over but only made it
so far
halfway.
Yeah.
And just to sort of get a feel for like the location, because obviously being from the UK, we don't really have, well, I suppose we do have highways like this, but it's very rural.
Yeah.
And it's, you can kind of like picture it in your head if you think of like driving just along through Route 66 and it's just like there's nothing either side.
Yeah.
And so I've got pictures here. They are available on Google. And yeah. So this is around the area where his car
was abandoned.
Okay. So it's just over just the white
hills,
line of
yeah.
the shoulder.
Okay.
Yeah. So Kyle says that, you know, around the area it's, you know, cactus and shrubs and trees, just very rural. When Kyle and Audrey arrived at the scene of the stranded vehicle, they saw no sign of Brandon anywhere, but a Coke County police officer, Deputy Neil, was also approaching the truck from the opposite direction, Around this time, Kyle received a phone call from Brandon in which he tells him, "I can see you, I'm right here." Kyle looked around but couldn't see his brother, so he assumed that Brandon was hiding from the officer because he remembered that he had an outstanding warrant for his arrest. During this phone conversation, Kyle recalls Brandon telling him to run from the police, which he found strange because he had no reason to. Due to the cell phone service being bad in this area, the calls between the brothers kept cutting off, but around this time, Audrey also received a call from Brandon, in which he reportedly told her that he was 10 minutes up the road in a field and is bleeding. She noticed that during this call he sounded out of breath before it dropped once again. Kyle didn't relay this information to the officer at the time, later stating that he decided not to because of Brandon's warrant, stating that he'd never snitch on his brother.
Fair enough.
So to paint the scene, basically, Kyle arrives and then he can't find his brother, but then he gets a phone call saying that his brother can see him.
Right.
And then Kyle just assumes that he's hiding because there's a police officer there.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to get arrested.
Fair enough.
Or have to, you know, spend time in prison.
Okay.
Also, the bleeding.
Yeah.
That's very strange.
Well, again, obviously, if you said about the three Mexicans, he might have been attacked or, you know, something like that could have happened, I guess.
So at this time, Kyle didn't think that it was serious. Thought that maybe he'd just fallen over and
cut himself
or something like that.
Yeah.
And he did say afterwards that, you know, if he would have known how serious it potentially was,
okay,
then he would have said something to the police officer. But he really dismissed it as
nothing, really.
Nothing, especially as, like, the phone kept cutting out as well when they were talking.
Yeah.
So it was hard to really make out exactly what he was saying.
Yeah.
Which is a theme throughout this whole case.
Right, okay.
So it's presumed that that Deputy Neil was dispatched to the location of Brandon's truck after receiving that call from the truck driver.
Mm-hmm.
When he arrived at the scene, he noted that the vehicle was in fact left in an odd position, but despite this, noticed no visible damage to the exterior. The truck was left unlocked and it was empty inside, indicating that wherever Brandon had gone, he'd taken his keys, wallet and phone with him. According to Kyle, no official searches of the truck were ever made and the license plates were never run. Instead, Deputy Neil just switched on the hazard lights and arranged for a tow truck to collect the vehicle at 8 a.m. that morning. At this point, Kyle was really starting to get worried about his brother. His phone calls were going straight to voicemail, so in an attempt to try and find Brandon, he started searching the area himself. Deputy Neil told Kyle not to search the direction that he came from because it was pointless. He said he hadn't seen anything upon his arrival, so he won't have gone that way. Kyle found that quite suspicious at the time. But
yeah, that is strange.
You look confused.
I am a little. So the copper said don't look in the direction that he came from.
Yes.
Okay.
Because
wasn't it late at night?
Yeah, it was like early in the morning.
That's it. So, you know, dark roads, rural area.
I think this is why Kyle found it quite suspicious.
That is odd.
That he would say that.
Yeah, 100%. Because again, you know, it comes down to if it's dark and stuff, and now if he's going to look for him in the daytime,
exactly.
That makes sense to go and check.
And
back
also,
that way.
There's not any street lights around this area.
That's it.
It's literally like if you've been down a country road at night,
you
have to like sometimes put your like
high beams on and stuff.
Blinders on because you can't really see what's in front of you, never mind what could be
to the side of you, because you're that focused on the road in front, you wouldn't be looking around you.
Exactly. And if you're frantic and you think that your brother's missing, and if you think that, you know, these Mexicans, I'm sorry, but I know that's quite offensive, are after him.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to want to search every area that you can.
Yeah.
After having no luck in locating his brother, Kyle recounts that he walked around yelling for Brandon to come out of hiding, saying that the police had left and that it was safe. However, his searches were fruitless. And so around 3 a.m. he left the empty gas can in the bed of Brandon's truck in the hopes that when he returned he could collect the gas himself. And then they travelled home.
Okay.
So on the way home, Kyle tried ringing Ledessa to inform her of the situation, but but his calls went unanswered, presumably because she'd left it charging in a car overnight.
Yep.
However, at 4:30 a.m., Ledessa finally retrieved her phone and noticed that she had several missed calls from Brandon and from Kyle. In a panic, she phoned the local police station to see if there'd been any updates on her missing boyfriend, but unfortunately there hadn't. At 7 a.m, Kyle's check had finally cleared into his account, so he made his way back to Brendan's truck to fill it up with gas for him. But there was still no sign of his brother, and by 8:30, the truck was towed off. Later that afternoon, Deputy Neil went back to Brendan's last known whereabouts to check nearby and homes and land for possible signs of someone being in the area, but he was unable to recover anything. It was as though Brandon had just disappeared off the face of the earth, leaving literally no trace behind.
What's sort of concerning there is the fact that, you know, obviously Brandon saying that he'd lost blood or he was bleeding. So depending on obviously the severity of their injury, there would be some form of something somewhere.
Must have been.
Because again, he didn't specify, you know, that he'd been attacked or anything. He just said he was bleeding. Mm-hmm. So, but there would be blood somewhere. You know, and with Texas, I'm led to believe that it's quite a dry state. It's not like they get a lot of rain there. Yeah. So, you know, fair enough, it might be sandy. Obviously, from that road, it looks quite dusty and mm-hmm. stuff, and that can cover things. But, you know, with it being a short space of time, there would be something.
This is like a question that I've heard a lot of people say as well. And yeah. then people have tried to, you know, theorise that maybe a shirt soaked up the blood or, like, you know, things like that.
Because he didn't actually specify where he was bleeding from, did he?
No.
He just said he was bleeding. Vague, yeah.
And I think it was because the call was cutting in and out. So of course. she could only hear bits and pieces
yeah.
of the call.
Okay.
But it is so strange that, like, nothing.
Yeah.
Not even, like, footprints.
That's it. Because, again, if he was attacked, there'd be signs of a scuffle, you know, multiple yeah. footprints, tyre marks maybe, mm-hmm. if they were in a car following him.
Yeah.
You know, there'd be something there.
On August...
Was it August?
No.
No? What date was it?
Oh, it was just over the next few days. So it okay. was August, but I'm yeah. just reading the wrong part here. Sorry. I was trying to find my bearings for ages there. Like, over the next few days, Brandon's family were growing extremely concerned with the lack of communication, and at this point, Kyle felt incredibly guilty about the way he'd handled the situation on the morning of his brother's disappearance. He decided to call the authorities and admit that he and Audrey had in fact had contact over the phone with Brandon when Deputy Neil arrived at the scene, and that Brandon was hiding due to what he believed was because of the warrant. He also told him that his brother claimed to have been bleeding. And then Kyle said that from this point forward, he felt like he was treated as though he was a liar and a suspect. So to clear his name, he offered to take two polygraph tests. So in the first test, he said, was asking him whether he'd picked Brandon up on that night slash morning of his disappearance. And the second one was whether he'd killed his brother.
Right.
He passed them both.
Right, okay.
So, at this point, it's looking, depending on how you feel about polygraph tests,
yeah.
lie detector tests, it's looking likely that, you know, his brother
had no involvement in his disappearance.
At all. And
yeah.
The more that I learn about Kyle, the more that I see he is a real, honest, stand-up kind of person.
Yeah, yeah.
And we'll get into that more later, but I truly do think that he has no idea what happened yeah. to his brother.
Fair enough.
Now, on August 11th, 2013, mm-hmm. a small search of the scene was conducted, but it brought no evidence or clues as to where Brandon was or what might have happened to him. Police performed aerial searches of the location where Brandon was last seen, but they brought up nothing at all. An article penned in a local publication called The Observer Enterprise, which was written by Sheriff Wayne McCutcheon's wife. She owns this newspaper. It states that Brandon was no longer in Cole County. She wrote that based on statements made by police and Texas Rangers, he'd probably been picked up by a passing motorist or even Kyle and taken somewhere else willingly in order to hide from the police due to his warrant. However, Brandon's family disagreed with the statements made by Melinda and the police, believing that there's absolutely no evidence to back up their claims that he's no longer in the area. There's a whole thing about this online about there being a conflict of interest with the police and the media.
Because he had a warrant out.
Yeah, the police and the media sort of, because, you know, you got the sheriff and then his wife.
Yes, of course.
So that people think that she's putting out quite biased articles and publications.
Yep.
Which I kind of agree with.
Well, again, it goes back to which case was it that we said was really shoddy police work? Was it the Lauren Agee one?
Yeah.
And it's very much they're trying to sort of close the case with no real investigation. And when something goes into the media like that, generally the public, based on obviously the last 18 months that the world's been in, mm-hmm. and the way that the media perceives things, a lot of people do believe what the media says. Yeah, and they just sort of... they're probably likely to dismiss it.
When in reality, you know, especially in this case, the person who's writing these articles is very extremely close with the sheriff.
Yeah.
And so she's not going to write an article saying, you know, the sheriff has done bad police work.
That's it. Like, she's going to back him up.
Yeah. And, you know, it's really not fair on the family's part. So, they believe that he was running away because of his warrant.
Does it say what his warrant was for?
Yeah, it was for possession of drugs with the intent to supply.
Okay.
I think that's what it's called in English terms.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's something... it's the same thing, but it's worded different in America. So basically he was...
He was caught
with enough drugs to sell.
Okay.
And he'd been in trouble. He'd been in prison, Kyle says, 3 times previously.
For drug-related offences.
Some are drug-related, yeah.
Okay.
But what I don't understand is that he was working all this overtime, and Ledessa said that it was in order to save up to pay the fines accrued from the warrant.
Right, okay.
And they were very close to getting...
The money paid off. Okay. So why would he run then?
Exactly.
Makes no sense.
Kyle also says that, you know, he'd been to prison 3 or 4 times previously and he wasn't scared of the place.
Yeah.
Like...
there was no reason for him to run.
There'd be no reason for him to, like, leave long term due to this. It's not like he killed someone, you know, it's just a drug charge, which...
yeah.
In America, the sentences are quite crazy.
I think
he was facing between, like, 2 and 20 years or something like that, but... yeah, it just doesn't really make much sense what they're trying to say.
That he's... yeah, yeah. Okay.
But I think they're just pissed off that Kyle hid that from them initially, if that makes sense.
Yeah, she's trying to protect
him. Well, you know, you didn't tell us this, so this is why he's probably left. You know, sort of using it against him.
Yeah.
And also, if he was doing this, why would he choose that time to leave?
Especially when he's got a newborn baby.
Yeah,
and that
time of night. And,
yeah.
You know, after just having an argument with his girlfriend.
It makes no sense.
It doesn't really make any sense.
No.
And then is it just a coincidence that his car ran out of petrol?
Yeah, that's it.
But then he's like, okay, well, my car's out of petrol, so I'm going to run now.
The only thing that I could say to sort of counteract that is that the reason that he didn't want to go to his brother's house is because then if he goes to his parents' house, is he out of the jurisdiction of that particular... sheriff's office, maybe.
Yeah, I think he
would, so maybe that's why he was. But again, you can always be moved back.
If he was pulled over in, I think his dad lived in Fort Worth or Crowley, which is just outside of Fort Worth.
Yeah.
I'm sure if he was picked up by police there, they would have been.
They would have taken back. Yeah. Over.
On the 12th of August 2013, Ledessa retrieved Brendan's cell phone records and decided to comb through them in order to try and piece together the events of that night. She noticed that at 12:48 a.m. in the early hours of the morning just before Brendan vanished, he'd placed a 43-second emergency call to 911. The call went through to a dispatch centre, which was located in a nursing home in Robert Lee, Texas. And during the call, Brandon made several confusing and incoherent statements. The bizarre call has been released to the public, but it's still unknown to this day exactly what's being said or if it has been tampered with or edited in any way. However, many people have spent years trying to decipher the conversation throughout the years, and to give our listeners an idea of Brandon's state of mind at the time, we're going to play it now and then we'll discuss the possible transcripts afterwards.
Okay, that's fine.
9/2013, 0:50 and 38 seconds.
911
emergency.
Yes, I'm in the middle of the field. The state, we're just pushing guys over. Right here going towards Javelin on both sides. My truck ran out of gas. There's one car here. Got to take it to the woods. Please hurry.
Okay, now run that by me.
We're not talking to him. I actually ran into him.
Ah, you ran into him. Okay.
Got the first guy.
Do you need an ambulance?
No, I need the cops.
Okay. Is anybody hurt? Hello? Hello? Hello?
Gordon wasn't the best, was it? It wasn't very clear as to, you know, what was going on.
No, it sort of just adds more, like, questions than answers.
Yeah, because obviously it's been slowed down there, so obviously it repeats twice. I think it's been slowed down to try and get a little bit more out of it.
Many podcasts and, you know, YouTubers have done different things to try and clear up what he's saying. Obviously, he's got a very thick accent, which doesn't help, but also the, like I said before we played it, the dispatch centre was actually located in a nursing home.
Right.
So these people that are taking the calls aren't necessarily the best trained people in this situation.
Okay.
Does that make sense? It's a very strange call. I remember it gave me goosebumps the first time I heard it.
Well, I heard him say he's been hit, or something along those lines. For me, it didn't sound like it was from his perspective.
Uh-huh.
It sounded like it was someone else making the phone call.
Right.
On his behalf, saying that Brandon had been hit. That's what it sounded like to me.
Yeah, okay.
But that's just... I obviously don't know what he sounded like, but...
Yeah, his family have obviously listened to the call and said it's him.
So, who is he hit?
So, the most possible transcripts that I've come across... Because people... Everybody hears different things, don't they?
Yeah.
And people have put their ideas together, and I've just sort of combined what is possibly what he said. And you know, his brother and his girlfriend who knew him and knew the way he spoke and his dialect and stuff, like, really still have trouble trying to figure out
what he was
saying. So at the beginning, he says, yes, I'm in the middle of a field. And then it's sort of not really knowing what he says after that, but most people think that he says a staper just pushed some guys over.
Okay.
So what Kyle believes and what, you know, people believe online is that he's meant to say state trooper, and his words sort of got mixed and he ended up saying staper.
Okay.
Just pushed some guys over. That could mean in the car, sort of pushing another car.
Yeah.
Do you know, does that make sense? Sort of like hitting another car in order to try and get it to move, or right here going towards Abilene, which is a direction of a town. Abilene is another town.
Yeah.
On either both sides or Bront side. So Bront is the place in Texas.
Okay.
As well.
Right, okay.
Okay, it's so confusing. My truck ran out of gas, that's quite obvious.
Yeah, which is already that. Yeah, he's already mentioned that.
There's one car here, a guy's chasing me through the woods, please hurry. So that's sort of the first part, basically, is just saying that he thinks a state trooper has just pushed some guys over. Right here, going towards Abilene on both sides, or Bront side. So he's just telling the directions. My truck ran out of gas. So, he then says, or it sounds like he says, there's a guy talking to him. I totally ran into him. Did you hear that from that?
No.
So, I think it...
That must be the thing that I heard with him being hit.
Right, okay. Even still, it doesn't make sense. There's a guy talking to him. I totally ran into him. But you, when you said before that, you know, it sounds like maybe there's other people
there. Yeah, more than one person.
That is what it sounds like through this call. There's a guy talking to him. I totally ran into him. And then people thought that, you know, maybe this was, he ran someone over.
Maybe.
Or, you know, he ran into someone.
Yeah.
As he's running or walking.
Again, just to sort of summarise so far. So, it sounds to me like he's seen a state trooper or a copper hit another car off the road or bumped into another car.
Yeah.
And this also goes back to what we were mentioning earlier, that the copper was seeming a bit fishy. Mm-hmm. So, and then he said he was being chased. Was he being chased by the copper? Mm-hmm. Because he's hit this other car, not realising that he's at the side of the road. He's thought, shit. Mm-hmm. That guy at the side of the road's just seen me hit this car. Mm. I'm going to have to chase after him.
Yeah.
It's a possibility.
That is, you know, what a lot of people do think.
Yeah.
Happens. Yeah. And then the dispatch says, ah, you ran into him, okay? And then Brandon says, just or shot the first guy. It sounds like he says just, but it also, if you listen to it, it's sort of like the whole, like, what colour is the dress? Is it blue or white?
Okay.
Somebody tells you it's one thing, you can hear that, and then someone says, well, I think, like, he said shot, and then you can hear him. It sounds like he says shot.
Well, I guess, you know, for our listeners, you know, maybe go back and listen to it again and make your own theory of it. I'll certainly be listening to it again to see what I can hear.
I'm not saying that this, like, is definitely what was said, because no one knows
exactly
what was said, but it is good to sort of get your own opinions on it. And then she says, do you need an ambulance? And Brandon says, no, I need the cops. But a lot of people think that before he says no, he or someone else says yes
first. Right,
so,
okay.
You know, to go back and listen to this, it probably might be a good idea.
Yeah, definitely. I think I'll do headphones on this occasion. Yeah,
it does sound like someone says yes and then straight away says, no, I need the cops.
Okay.
And then she says, okay, is anybody hurt? Hello, hello, hello. And the call drops. So a few notes that I've got about this call, as well as what I've just said, spent 5 minutes talking about. There is a lot of speculation that Brandon was with someone else.
Right.
Because people believe that they can hear other voices there. But who would he be with? That's the thing. And who are the guys that he's talking about on the call?
Yeah.
So we've sort of just discussed that a little bit, but still, doesn't really make much sense when you think about it.
Especially when they mentioned earlier as well that there was no structural damage to the car.
Yeah, that's important.
That's, you know, that is a big part of it because, you know, if he's saying that he's hit someone, whether it's a person or whether it's another car, there would still be damage.
Yeah.
Some form of impact damage.
Absolutely. And, you know, no one else ever came forward claiming that they were with Brandon that night, and no one else was ever reported missing at the same time. So,
okay.
You know, who would he have been with if it was anyone at all?
No, yeah, fair enough.
And then also the speculation about, you know, towards the end of the call, I don't know whether you heard it, when the dispatchers sort of paused and there's like a sound, like a background noise.
I didn't pick up on that, no.
People think that it's gunshots.
Right.
To me, I don't know really what gunshots sound like, but I think it would be louder and more. Unless it was really in the distance, but, you know, you
if
hear...
If he's being chased, I guess,
you hear people
could be...
saying that, you know, in areas where there is a lot of gunshots going off, like, you can hear it from miles away.
Yeah.
I'm not an expert at that stuff, I'm not
no,
sure.
Of course.
But Kyle has sort of disputed this and says he doesn't think it's gunshots. It sounds to him like background vehicles driving past.
Yeah.
There is a bridge not far away.
Right.
And it sounds like cars going over a bridge, like a zoom.
Okay. I mean? No, I know exactly what you mean.
But this, again, it's all speculation. You really sort of need to listen to it for yourself. And
make your own assumptions,
You know, if you know what a gunshot sounds like, that could be what a gunshot sounds like. I don't know. So anyways, it's believed that at the time that Kyle, Audrey and the deputy arrived at the scene... Earlier on the morning of his disappearance, none of them knew that this call had been made.
Okay.
So nobody, not even apparently the deputy knew. Presumed that the deputy was there because he was dispatched to the location based off the abandoned vehicle, and that the inexperienced dispatcher who received Brandon's 911 call logged it as a stranded motorist call. Ignoring the fact that he sounded frantic and possibly in danger.
Okay.
So, I mean, if he's stranded, are you going to, like, call 911 or would you call, like, sort of...
A family member or a friend, yeah.
Yeah, or even if you need, like, the authorities, would you call the emergency line?
No, you wouldn't.
Or would you call, like, the police office itself?
Yeah, well, I suppose if he had the number... You know, that could play that part.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
But also as well, shouldn't it have been marked as a potential road traffic collision?
Well, it should if, you know, the car's... Yeah, because his vehicle was sort of out on the road. And
well, he said, though, I've hit someone, that's what he said, so...
Well, did he, though?
Well, that's what
that's
it sounded
thing,
like.
Yeah.
But again, she acknowledged that. Oh, you hit somebody.
Okay, she said... You ran into him.
Ran into him.
So that could mean, you know, ran into a car or ran into someone, like physically walking into someone or running into a situation
okay.
that you shouldn't.
Yeah. I suppose, yeah. I suppose with the minimalist details that she had, I suppose that sort
Did
of...
Did you notice that she didn't even ask for his name?
No.
Usually, like, that's the first thing that a dispatcher would ask for
that's
name
it.
And location.
Yes. Yeah.
He's saying... Between Abilene on both sides, but she ain't gonna know what
specifically,
highway that is specifically.
Yeah.
So yeah, I do think the poor lady was a little bit
overwhelmed with the situation.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And then, you know, she didn't take it as seriously as she probably should have done. Apparently, she did try to call him back a few times as well, but he didn't answer.
Fair enough.
So. Once Ledessa discovered that Brandon had called the police that night, she immediately reported it to law enforcement and filed a missing persons report. Around this time, multiple official searches were made by police. These searches consisted of aerial coverage with infrared lights, search dogs, and more, but nothing was found. Another search was performed 2 weeks later on August 29th. At this time, with large investigative units, including the Coke County Sheriff's Office, the Texas Rangers, Tom Green County Sheriff's Office, Highway Patrol, and Search and Rescue. They covered over 2,500 acres, but once again, nothing was discovered during this extensive search. And it was around this time the police made a statement in which they concluded that they wouldn't perform any more searches unless new details emerged. So I do understand that. You know, if you've searched an extensive area like that and found nothing, why would you keep searching, I suppose?
No, that's it. Especially if they take into consideration that he's walking. You know, he's not got a vehicle.
So he
kind of got too far. You know, he could have jumped in a car. He could have hitchhiked somewhere. He could have gone, into somebody else's car and something horrible happened to him that way. But, it indicates that he's walked away.
Mm-hmm.
Especially with his brother saying that I can see you. So he wasn't far in that regard.
Yeah, so it was Brandon saying to his brother that he could see his brother.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah, that's what I mean.
I just
want
to make that clear.
Yeah, that was just my poor explanation. But, the fact that Brandon could see his brother, so he wasn't far from, the location of his vehicle. Mm-hmm. So, it's likely that he has walked somewhere.
But then what I was thinking about is, so he said that he could see his brother. And his brother believes that he could because he hadn't told him at that point that a police officer was there, but Brandon knew that a police officer was there.
So he couldn't have been far.
So he definitely must have seen them. But if you listen to the 911 call, which was placed before the phone call with Kyle, you can hear the sounds of the traffic on the bridge.
Yeah.
The bridge is nowhere near where his car was found. So if he was near the bridge, how could he...
Seeing his brother.
It's just so confusing.
No, that is strange. Again, maybe it is gunshots. Maybe it is.
Yeah.
And again, I like to theorise on stuff. It is very, very suspicious, the fact that the copper didn't want his brother going the opposite way that he came from to search for him. The fact that there's this account of a car being hit off the road by a copper. Could it have been the same copper?
Hmm. This is speculation.
And again,
it was the police that pushed them. We don't say that.
Yeah, of course, but
we're assuming.
This is based on the assumption of what goes on, and I can only obviously make an assumption based off the information that I've been given so far. So, as it stands at the moment, it seems to me that, he's seen this incident. The police officers notice that he's at the side of the road. That's a potential witness. But the fact that no other car or no other person's come forward to say, yes, a police officer knocked me off the road.
Unless, if we really want to go all out, the other person that's there that, the police may have hit was then killed by the police.
Maybe.
Could have been from another part of Texas.
Maybe, yeah.
Could have been from another state.
Yeah.
Could have been a hitchhiker themselves, or maybe somebody who
robbed the car
isn't on the radar. It could be somebody. People go missing all the time, and bodies are found all the time, and nobody knows who they are, and
that's
they become
it.
John and Jane Does, and
it is digging a rabbit hole. Don't get me wrong, but there's got to be some explanation.
Definitely.
So.
In the weeks following Brandon's disappearance, Ledessa hired a private investigator to help in the searches for her missing boyfriend, but many of the private landowners around the area denied them access to their properties, making it practically impossible for them to perform thorough searches.
That's dodgy in itself.
Yeah, it is dodgy in itself. I mean, somebody goes missing, and the police come to your house and they're like, can I just search your garden? And you know that you've done nothing wrong.
Yeah.
What's the problem in that?
Yeah. Well, I think, this goes back to, again, I know certain cases. I know a lot of high-profile cases as far as, Netflix specials and stuff. And this goes back to, making a murder in the Avery case.
Mm-hmm.
And, look at that, them big plots of land that all those families had.
Yeah, and it's similar
and
to
it's
this.
And it's similar, that it is a lot of farmland. It is a lot of big, large properties, and You know, if they've got something not so legal, i.e. drugs or whatever, they are going to deny access. Yeah. You know, it can happen.
I just find it really sad because if your brother or, you know, your boyfriend was missing, you'd want to look everywhere that you could.
100%.
And to be told, not even by the police, but, you know, by
your neighbours and your, yeah.
That, no, it's just sad. Couldn't the police get a warrant to send?
They could do,
or
yeah.
Would they, I think they'd need, like, probable cause to believe that something's there. So
yeah,
maybe
yeah.
They couldn't get that.
They couldn't
that,
get warrants, yeah.
Unfortunately, due to spending all of her savings on the private investigator, Ladessa moved herself and her family back to Fort Worth to be closer to family for financial and emotional support. She didn't give up, though, and still continues to be extremely active and persistent in trying to locate Brandon, mostly through the Facebook group she moderates called Help Find Brandon Lawson. So in the aftermath was what we're going to talk about now and sort of what's come out since this all happened. So in 2019, new details emerged in the case after Kyle Lawson spoke out to clear up a lot of the speculation and details of that night. At the time of the interview in which he conducted on the podcast that I mentioned before, Crawl Space, Kyle had only recently been released from prison and states that this was the reason that it took him so long to get the full story out. So basically, Kyle admits that the day before Brandon vanished, he'd contacted Kyle, asking where he could score some meth. Kyle tried to discourage his brother after all he'd, you know, been clean for 6 months, but Brandon was persuasive and told Kyle that due to him having passed the drug test for his new job, he wanted to get high before he needed to take another one.
So he could get out of his system before the next one comes
in. Yeah. Knowing that his brother was not an addict and just a casual recreational user, he put him in contact with a friend of his who knew a dealer, and, you know, that probably explains why he didn't come home for two nights or a night and a day.
Yeah.
Because he was probably just getting high. So Kyle doesn't know who the dealer is either.
Right.
So that's sketchy.
Yeah.
Because I feel like if you're going to get your brother some drugs, then you want to make sure that he's getting decent products.
Yes, and the person, as again, this is a weird sentence to say, but you want someone trustworthy.
Well, yeah, of course, because you never know, like, what it could be laced with. Or,
that's it.
You know. If
bad enough as it is.
If you're spending money on something, and it's probably a lot of money, I don't know. But I've never sought out a meth dealer. Then you want it to be good stuff.
Yeah, I imagine so.
Anyways, it's not clear that whether Brandon was using meth on the day or evening of his disappearance.
Well, that would add up to why he didn't want to be around the police.
Yeah.
I guess.
Kyle strongly believes that he wasn't. But, you know, with Ladessa and, you know, Brandon getting into an argument over his drug use, you know, I think that she knew he was...
He was high. Yeah.
High. So now that we know that Brandon had relapsed, the events of that night do appear to make more sense.
His erratic behaviour, definitely.
He seemed extremely paranoid during his phone calls with Kyle, talking about the Mexicans and Ladessa destroying his stuff.
Yes.
He had no... The Ladessa destroying his stuff, he had no reason to say that, apart from they'd been in an argument.
Yeah.
I don't know what went on behind the closed doors of their argument.
Of course.
No one does. But it's still such a strange thing to say.
Check on me stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is strange.
And it would, you know, the whole meth thing would explain why he sounds so frantic and incoherent on the call.
Yeah.
Because before I knew that he was possibly high, I thought that he sounded intoxicated.
Drunk, yeah.
Or something, you know. So that does add up. But at the same time, I do think that now that we know that he had relapsed, it sort of just poses more questions.
Well, yeah, it can sort of, you know, there's the whole, he's on the run now because he's decided to go down the drug route. Who knows, he may have overdosed, he may have...
Yeah.
There's a number of different things.
I have got
some
theories up here that we'll go through in a second.
Yeah.
But the one question that sort of gets me is, like, if he didn't run off and if he just was high, and hallucinating or tripping at the time. Where is he?
Yeah, if he's dead, where's the body? You know,
there's literally no trace that's ever been found. And
any waterways or anything like that surely, nearby?
Yeah, there was a river nearby, but again, like you said before, from what I could find, it's a shallow river, it's Texas, it doesn't rain,
it wouldn't run out to the sea in big ways or anything
not
like that.
Not that I'm aware of, anyway. Yeah, okay. And surely, like, the fact that he was on drugs, that is going to make someone become more susceptible to injury or accident the elements or even foul play.
Yeah, no, absolutely, yeah.
So it does sort of tie it up, but there's still so many loose ends.
100%. There's too many questions because, again, you know, if he's lived quite a casual life on this drug use, mm-hmm. he's been, you know, I imagine it impairs him in ways that you would expect drugs of that kind to impair you, but he's always come out the other end of them. So,
yeah, Kyle even says, you know, that he used meth quite frequently, you know, in the past, and they'd done it together, and he'd never ever seen Brandon react in a way that, you know, he would be sort of delusional.
Well, that's it. The thing is that he's got this, you know, as you stated at the start, you know, he's quite a respectable guy, minus the meth use. He's hardworking, got good morals.
A good dad.
He's a good dad,
I read a comment on a YouTube video of, so the mother of his oldest child.
Yeah.
She commented on it and she was like, I'd never let my daughter go to her dad if I knew he was on drugs. And, you know, in the past when he's been on drugs, I've not let her go. And he was so good at paying child support on time, and he was really involved in his daughter's life.
That's it. Like, he had a brand new job, he had, you know, young children. Yeah, fair enough, he had an argument with his wife, but, you know, every couple argues, you don't disappear after one argument,
especially after 10 years, you know. That's sort it. Of I feel like your arguments just get not less, but just I don't want to sound in a bad way, but like they don't affect you as much as they used to.
Yes.
Because you understand the other person and you understand where they're coming from, and it's quite easy to get over those.
Yeah.
Once you know
a person.
A person. If that makes sense. So.
Yeah. No, it makes perfect sense.
It is quite a strange one. To think that he would just leave.
Yeah, it doesn't add up.
To be a druggie.
Yeah, it doesn't add up that.
You know, and he's really close to his family.
Yeah.
Like his brother, and I think that if he was to do that, he would have told his brother.
Yeah.
Because they were that close.
Yeah, he wouldn't let drugs come in the way of his family.
No. So obviously, a very recent theory is that he was hallucinating. And again, the phone calls and his demeanour, sort of does back that up, and the fact that he believed he was being chased. And if this theory is correct, you know, did he overdose or did he become lost and succumb to the elements?
Maybe.
You know, you can't rationalise the behaviours of people on drugs.
No, you can't.
And there's no way to understand what's going through someone's mind while they are on drugs, so I think that's sort of just like a cycle that you'd never get out of if you try to, you know, well, maybe he was thinking this, maybe he was thinking that.
But again, it's the body. Where's the body?
Exactly. There's no trace. You know, after 8 years, because it's been about 8 years now, you'd think that something would have been recovered.
Oh, definitely. You know, and you think, again, if someone is on drugs, again, not only is their mindset erratic, usually their body language is erratic as well. Mm-hmm. So if he's left the scene of his car, there would have been some form of sign of, you know, something, you know, him leaving that area, you know, because he wouldn't have been able to walk very far. You know, it's, you know, fair enough, it might give you an energy boost. You know, I don't know, obviously, the signs and things that you get with use of crystal meth. But, you know, I imagine like a lot of other drugs, it would give you an energy boost and you'd be able to walk and things like that.
I used to watch a channel on YouTube, and it was like a guy who was like an ex drug user, and he got clean and then started interviewing other people
right.
who use different kinds of drugs. And I just remember this one girl saying that she was so young when she tried it, but like it just made her feel like the best she'd ever felt in her life.
Yeah.
And everything, no matter how small it was just like an amazing experience.
Yeah.
And I think that's why people go back to it. But this doesn't, if he was on meth, if Brandon was on meth, this doesn't sound like an amazing experience.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't.
And I think if yeah. this happened to me, I would never, ever want to touch the thing ever again.
No, I agree.
Because it's terrifying. So I've put down here that maybe my theory in the drug category, if it was the drugs that was involved in his disappearance, then maybe when he ran into the police officer at the scene of his truck.
Yeah.
The police officer seeing that he was on drugs.
Yep.
And didn't like it.
Possible.
Mm. Who knows?
I still think, as I say, I don't want to make this into a, you know, a Hollywood movie-esque storyline. But again, you know, I still do find it really suspicious, the fact that the police officer didn't want Brandon's brother to go and check the other direction. That is very, very suspicious.
Also,
and it ties into the, you know, the wife in the newspaper and stuff. It seemed like they were trying to squash it quite quickly. Yeah. So that in itself is suspicious.
Also, if you think about one of the first phone calls that Brandon had made to his brother when his brother arrived in the scene, is when Brandon seen that the police man,
yeah,
the deputy was there. He told Kyle to run.
Yeah.
And Kyle was like, I don't know why he said that, because I've done nothing wrong. Like, why would I run from the police? Unless Brandon knew that the police officer was dangerous.
Yes, maybe.
So, again, we've got accidental death or succumbing to the elements. So that is entirely possible.
Absolutely.
Especially if you add on to it that he was high. But again, where's the body?
Yeah.
Attacked and eaten by wildlife.
Again, you can't rule that out.
So there's wild boar and hogs in the area.
Okay.
Okay, and they'll eat anything.
Yeah, they will.
A little bit like me and you. But it's highly unlikely that one of these animals would chase and attack and kill a person.
No.
So usually if they're going to eat you, it's because you're dead.
Yeah.
So that could explain.
It's an easy meal.
He could have OD'd. He could have
passed out.
Passed something. Then he's being eaten by these wild boars. But then where's his trainers?
Where's his clothes?
Where's his phone?
Where's his
t-shirt? His wallet? The pigs?
They wouldn't eat that stuff.
They're not going to. They wouldn't be able to eat a mobile phone.
No.
So where is that stuff? It would be there, surely. Because
wouldn't there still be bones? They wouldn't eat the bones, would they? So.
And, you know, if this did happen, there's no blood around.
Yeah, like there's no. Said, yeah.
Surely if a big pig is it a pig?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, it's part of the pig family, I think.
They're so cute. You know, if this big pig is eating a human being, then there's going to be some...
There'd be a mess.
There would be.
Yeah.
Pigs are messy.
Yeah. There would be mess.
So there's another theory going around that Brandon ran away with another woman.
Mm.
I don't see this.
Again, you know, some people are very good at hiding things. It's one of those things, you know. Especially with his drug use and stuff, he's obviously hid that well enough up until he's been found out again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and people like that do tend to live secretive. That you know, drug use in itself is a second life, so there's nothing stopping him from having a third life.
No, I just feel that, like, if he did run away with another woman, why choose this exact time to do that?
Yeah.
Why leave your truck? Why, you know... Why would you not use your bank account?
Because
his bank account hasn't been touched, his phone's never been turned on since. And
Or maybe he's trying to have a brand new life.
Is it just a coincidence that your truck runs out of gas and then you're like, oh, okay, I'll go and walk to find my other woman?
Maybe he was picked up.
But, like, just the fact that his truck ran out of gas, though.
Maybe it was planned in that way.
And then why would he call the police?
Yeah.
And get them involved? And why would he be ringing his brother saying, you know, come and help me, pick me up, because it's run out of gas, like, surely.
Yeah. And again, it's this is just, you know, Hollywood ideals as far as, you know, the theories. But again, you can't dismiss anything at this point.
You can't. You know? But I just think this is silly. I mean, like, Space Wars, like we said, he's a good dad. And not that that means that he wouldn't have an affair.
No.
Having an affair and running off with someone else is completely different. And, you know, one of them, you know, you still got contact with your children. The other one, you've not. And
yeah.
I just don't think. And Kyle didn't think this either, you know. He did say that he had cheated on Ledessa in the past.
Right.
But ultimately he loves her and he would never have like a full-on affair.
Right, okay.
Behind her back.
Okay.
Kyle also said it's none of his business, so.
Fair enough, yeah.
And then the last theory is foul play.
Right. Okay.
So maybe, like you said, he encountered something he shouldn't have. When he said on the phone, I totally ran into them. He ran into a situation that he
maybe shouldn't have seen. Have done.
You know, whether that's with like, people doing drug deals or the policeman.
Yeah.
Doing a drug deal, maybe. Or, like, you know.
Definite
doing
possibility.
Something with a criminal.
Yeah, maybe.
And that's where the other guy is, you know, sort of conspiring to hide something.
Yes.
Yeah, so that's quite a strong theory. And Kyle thinks that's the most likely theory. Just,
yeah.
You know, the what we said again before, telling him to run from the police and hide, and you know, the cop telling him not to go the other way, and
that in itself,
and the fact
is
that he mentions the stupa,
yeah, the stupa state trooper,
even though the deputy wasn't a state trooper.
Again, you know, if he's on drugs, that might be the way he's seen it.
True. So, you know,
and it's dark, you know. They see a police car, it could be anything.
Yeah.
So.
Just, what are you, where are you? What do you think is the most probable?
I think probably, well, could be foul play. In an ideal.
He could have ran away with another woman.
Could have ran away,
could have been eaten by wild boars.
I don't think the wild boars thing's anywhere near. You know, again, there would be remains left somewhere. There'd be clothes, a cell phone, is, you know, all that sort of stuff. The running away from with another woman, I won't ever dismiss that as a possibility, as far-fetched as it sounds from your standpoint. You know, people do have that mentality of.
But you need to plan it.
You do.
And it wouldn't be just, I've just had an argument, I'm going to do this, like, on a whim.
Well, maybe, and again, hypothetics at this point, maybe him asking his brother for drugs, his wife finding out that he's asking for drugs, that links in to a reason to have an argument, which would lead to him leaving.
Yeah, but again, you'd need to plan it. You wouldn't just have an argument and then be like, fuck this, I'm going off with Crystal.
Crystal with a K, she's back again. But again, you know, those things could lead up. They could be the setup. They could be the plan, you know, to say, right, I'm going to plant the seed that I'm looking for drugs. Then my wife's going to find it, or wife's going to find out. We're going to have an argument and I'm going to be leaving at this time.
And then I'm going to call the police and pretend that Mexicans are chasing me and being pushed off the road.
Yeah,
I just don't see. And then hide in a bush when my brother comes.
Yeah, it all doesn't add up. But again, none of it makes sense. And that's the thing, is that when somebody is missing
so
for so long, you've you've got a lot more questions than answers, and I think that we're going to come away from this the same.
That his body was never found, no trace of him was ever found, you know, that does point to, well, he went away.
Yeah.
But then you've got all the other elements into it.
Yeah.
That just...
Well, the foul play thing, really... the police will know how to get rid of a body very quickly.
Yeah.
So, you know, that is...
And you know it's all good when the sheriff's wife owns the local newspaper and...
Trying to squash the news, squash the fact that he's missing. Yeah, it can all add up. And for me, that is the most likely cause.
Okay. So, yeah, I think that... For me, I think that it's really likely that it was, you know, something to do with his drug use. Whether that means he OD'd or whether that means he was on drugs and that's why the phone call was so bizarre.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that he didn't run into foul play elsewhere.
Yeah.
I do think that the drugs played a big part in whatever happened to him, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And it's sad because... You know, people who use drugs, they're not doing it to put themselves in a situation like this.
No.
They're doing it because, you know, they need to fill a void or, you know, just because they like it.
Yeah.
And that's not for anyone to judge. And, you know, Kyle thinks that the police just seen Brandon as a, you know, a druggy criminal, yeah. And
not worth their time, basically.
No. And he's still a person, he's still a father, he's still a son, a brother, and you know, a husband or a boyfriend. And you know, people that are on drugs, I think, need more help than somebody who potentially has gone missing who's never touched a drug in their life.
Yeah,
and I think that society sees that. In the opposite way.
Yeah. They've made that choice.
Yeah. So, you know, bad things are going to happen because you take drugs. Which, of course, it does leave you more open to bad things happening. If you choose that lifestyle, you know, it's an unsavory lifestyle to have. And it's going to put you in contact with people who...
aren't the nicest people in the world, yeah.
But still, everybody deserves to be found. And 100%. Jump off of that just for a minute. I just want to go through his details.
Okay.
It's been 8 years. So, you know, you never know who might be listening, who might have seen Brandon. So he was missing from Brant, Texas, from August 9th. He's a white male. He was 26 years old, 5'9", 230 pounds, brown hair, blue eyes, stocky build, multiple tattoos, and you can Google his tattoos and there'll be pictures. And he was wearing a yellow shirt with camo shorts and white 2013 Air Max shoes. And it's sad. This one always sticks with me.
Yeah, it's especially when it goes unanswered.
There's no closure.
Yeah, that's the, you know, those cases as sad as, you know, when you find out that someone's been murdered or whatever it might be. You know, I feel for the family because they can't continue with their lives.
Yeah.
Normally, when something goes unsolved, there's always that, what if he's somewhere here? What if he's here?
Yeah.
You know, and
you
there's
know,
all...
It's just like going through your mind all the time, what could have happened to him. And
yeah.
Like, we've sat for an hour now and discussed the theories. They must be doing that every single minute that they're
yeah.
awake.
Yeah.
Ladessa, I think, did... end up remarrying.
Right.
So it's nice that, you know, she's been able to sort of,
move
I don't
on.
Want to say move on because
yeah.
I think
yeah.
that will always be with her, but that her life has been able to
continue yeah.
after
yeah.
such a horrible loss. And I just hope that one day they find him and
are able to give them answers.
And I hope he's alive and just went to live with Crystal or like
yeah.
or Crystal Man.
Yeah, Crystal Man. So that's the end of today's episode. So thank you once again for taking the time to listen in. And we'll see you on the next one.